Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and I certainly hope that you'll stand by and you will tune in with us this evening throughout our programming tonight. We're going to be bringing you something extremely special tonight, so I hope that you will certainly focus in. You can certainly call 347-857-1769. We're on the air live now. I want to go ahead at this time and start welcoming my various co-hosts for the evening. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to begin by welcoming Ms. J. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. And Ms. J, if you'll go ahead and give the disclaimer for any of my shows, we would certainly appreciate it. But welcome to the show tonight from the Peachy State.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and I hope everyone had a great week. And we're back again where Dr. Walker is not just telling stories, but changing lives. And the disclaimer is Friday night, 1 hour inspirational program in conjunction with Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of the Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Certainly do appreciate that. Let's go ahead and at this time bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, and happy, fantastic, fervent Friday. So in the land of the living, and I'm excited to know that we're going to have some wonderful information to share with you tonight. So buckle up and get ready for the ride.
Amen. All right, awesome. We're going to go ahead and invite the presence of the Lord into our programming tonight. Father, thank you for all the multitudes of blessings that you're continuously bestowing upon this show and all of the other shows, and for all the people who are listening and benefiting from these programs. We invite you into this service tonight and be with us and help us to take from it more than what we brought, and that somebody else will be, whose heart will be touched by you and for all that you want to touch their hearts for. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go ahead and bring in at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring in our other co-host, Lady Lynn. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, and before you go give talk about our giveaways, we're going to introduce one or two more of our co-hosts, but let's go ahead with you now.
Good evening. Happy Sabbath. Good to be here, and I'm excited about tonight's show.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead and bring in Ms. Teresa. Ms. Teresa, thank you for joining us this evening.
Good evening and happy Sabbath, everyone. God bless you. I'm very glad to be here tonight.
Awesome. We're looking forward to a good show and your commentary as well. All right, we're going to go ahead and bring in, go to Inverness, Florida. Inverness, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Liz, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's an honor and pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, and I pray everyone is well and blessed.
All right, excellent. We're waiting for one or two more of our co-hosts to also go ahead and press 1 on your dials. That way I'll know that they're in the queue and we'll be able to bring them in. While we're waiting for that, why don't we go ahead at this time? We've got some exciting news to bring to you all. Lady Lynn, we're going to bring you in at this time. It's going to take about a minute or two before we get to tonight's program. Tonight's program, if you're just joining us, how do you know if you are one of God's people? And, you know, he gives the scripture of my people who are called by my name. So we're going to be discussing that tonight. Lady Lynn, why don't you go ahead and fill us in?
All right. Again, thank you for having me, and I'm glad to be on the show. We welcome everybody who's listening, our various co-hosts, as well as our listening audience. I'd just like to take this time to remind you all or let you all know, first of all, that as the community outreach director for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show and his affiliates in the Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc., I am over the different community projects that we're doing, and the one that we have been focusing on for this holiday, or for this season rather, is the card giveaways, the gift card giveaways. I'd like to first thank our co-host for all the shows that have been involved throughout the year in helping with different aspects of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We'd like to thank each and every sponsor and volunteer and staff member, as well as our supporting listeners. Thank you so much for all that you do and the way you've supported the show throughout the year. And it's because of you, sponsorships or business sponsorships, organizations that we've been able to do what we do. The giveaways that we're focusing on for now for Thanksgiving are the gift card giveaways. We have been able to, or we're in the process of finding 25 families or individuals in which to bless with these gift cards. So we're so grateful for all of you who have called in and who have managed to get us linked up with these individuals and these families, and we're well on our way to blessing as many as we can this Thanksgiving season. And we'd like to give a special thanks to the Cox Chiropractor located in Port St. Lucie, Florida, not only for their business sponsorship, but also for a generous donation that they gave today, as a matter of fact, to support the gift card giveaway. And as well, the donation went to support the gift card giveaway, but as well as the Toys for Tots that we'll be doing in December, and there'll be more information on that to come. Once again, though, we would like to sincerely thank everyone who have been giving of your time, of your resources, and we want to encourage you to continue to give. In your area, you might come across the toy drives that they're doing in different locations. If you could take the time to maybe drop off an unwrapped toy of $10 or of at least $10 to one of these locations and just take the time to give. We talked about giving and the way in which we need to give more of ourselves and to think outside of just ourselves and to think of others and to just to make the holiday seasons better and brighter for those that are in need, those that are without. So we want to encourage each and every one of you to be involved in the charity of your choice, a charity that might be in your individual town or in your individual city, and give out a gift or give out a present, an unwrapped toy, to make somebody's holiday season better this year. And, of course, we want to remind you that if you still want to help us with our endeavor to bless for the 25 people that we're looking to help, you can call us at 786-399-6111. Again, that's 786-399-6111. But we really appreciate everyone who has helped, and we hope those who haven't will feel that tug on their heart to help somebody this holiday season. Thank you, and God bless for all that you do.
All right. Thank you so much, Lady Lynn, for that, and we certainly appreciate you all patience. I know we're trying to cover so much in this short span of time. All right, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us once again, how do you know if you are one of God's people? Liz, I want to start with you this evening. I want to start right with you this evening. Liz, how do you know that you are one of God's people? How do you know that? Just and you know, if we can keep our comments to 20 seconds or less, it would really be great for you all. Liz, go ahead.
Okay, well, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
All right.
So that's
okay.
How I know by the word.
Okay, all right, that we are the children of God. When it's talking about we, what are you talking about? When they say we, Liz, in your opinion. And we're waiting
those
for Bea Marie.
Those who obey the word of God.
Bea Marie, if you're joining us, press 1 on your dial. All right, because the word of God. All right, let me go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. The Bible tells us, you know, it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. I mean, who is God referring to when he talks about that? Who is he referring to? He says, my people. It sounds specific.
He's talking about the people who have truly put their trust, their faith, and their belief in God. And so, therefore, he knows his children. He knows who are his people. And so we have to come into the agreement and understanding that God's people have a very, very important anointing and tasking on their lives. And those people who are operating within that spirit are well, well known. I mean, you just know when you see those people. There is a Shekinah-like glory that is in their lives, even though they may not reflect it in their fleshly modes, but in their spirit mode, it's very, very evident.
Okay, so, Sir Ben, I want to stay with you just for a second. Do you believe that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were the first human beings that God created? They were the first. We're not talking about the angels now. We're talking about the human beings. Adam was the first man, as we know, in human form. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, so then Eve being the mother of all living, the Bible tells us. So then if they were the first people, were there other people that were created, in your opinion, outside of Adam and Eve, or did the generation of Earth, in terms of human species, come about as a result of Adam and Eve?
Well, there were others. We have to be very careful for people who don't understand and read for themselves. But, yes, there were other. God did create other Earths, other worlds, other people that were not necessarily in the same form that we are as humans, but there were other beings that were created. And even some of the angels had specific jobs to do. We talk about the cherubim angels, and there were different variations of angels as a part of creation too. So, yes, we're tough when we talk about these things.
There's a lot of noise coming from one's phone. I'm sorry, you all. So we're having a hard time hearing you. So you're saying we need to be careful with the other creation. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by for a second. Mr. Reese, I want to bring you in. Mr. Reese, I want to kind of stay on that same line. Do you believe the story of creation,
sure,
that Adam and Eve were the first human beings that God created? Do you believe that?
Yes. They were the first human beings of our species, of our kind. In fact, I'll go farther to say that God loves us so much in spite of all the other worlds and species he's created. We are the only species of our kind. That's how much he loves us.
All right, so other species of this kind. All right, so if that's
what I'm saying is.
Okay, but let me just stay with you just for a second because we got a lot to cover tonight. Okay, so where did Cain get his wife from in the land of Nod after he killed his brother and he left? Where did he get his wife from?
Well, I want to stay with what you have. You said, are we the only, Adam and Eve are the father and mother of all mankind, of human beings. So what I'm saying here is from that point on when sin entered the world, through them, everything else, you know, kind of went downhill from that. However, that's where Jesus came in.
Okay, but I'm asking there's a specific question. Where did, if we believe in the story of creation, which I do believe in the story of creation, I do, where did Cain, sin had already entered the world, where did Cain get his wife from in the land of Nod? Where did those people come from?
I'm not going to answer that because I don't understand the correlation in the original question. Are we the only human beings and created of our kind? And I said yes to that. But that part right there, that would go into a whole nother Bible study. And so what I like to do is stay with things that are going to enhance salvation and that are pertinent to salvation. So the story of creation is pertinent to salvation.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You know, in the show, you all, just so we'll know, and Miss Jay gave the disclaimer at the top of the hour, we're not necessarily saying that any of us have the direct answers. Basically, we're given opinions, and that's what it is here. Not to say that we encourage each person to go out and do their own due diligence, you know, for edificational purposes, educational and informational purposes. Now, you know, the questions that either I ask or some of my co-hosts are basically for thought provocation to get us deeper into understanding and having some form of knowledge of God and how we can better serve in our lives that we can be a benefit to others. That's what this program is all about. Having said that, I want to go ahead and bring in Principal LeBron. She's my Saturday morning co-host. Principal LeBron, it's good to have you on tonight's program. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everyone. That's a
All
good
right.
question.
Great to have you with us. Right. That's while I've got you here, Principal LeBron, let me ask you, how do you know if you are one of God's people? And before you answer that, God, you know, we know what the Scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 through 16. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sins and will heal their nation or heal their land. Okay, so who was Jesus talking to? Or was it in fact Jesus or was it God or was it one and the same that was talking?
Well, first of all, Jesus was talking to anyone that will turn from their ways, anyone that if you are his people, you will follow him. My sheep will follow me. And how do I know? It's because I talk with him daily. You know, I read his word. You know, I listen to what he's telling me to do. And I'm not perfect, you know, and he's still working on me. But, you know, I just know that, you know, because I know that he loves me, you know what I mean? That's how I know that I'm people.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Jay, I want to bring
Can
you
I ask Sister LeBron a question? This is Teresa. I just wanted to answer a question. So, Sister
we'll come back to that in just a second, Ms. Teresa. Ms. Jay, I want to bring you in, and then I want to bring in Lady Lynn for this same question here. In Mark 3:35, you know, the multitude, it begins at 3:32, and the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. And then Jesus, he answered them saying, who is my mother or who is my brother? Okay? Now, why do you think Jesus said that, Miss Jay? And then Lady Lynn is going to be the same question. Why do you think Jesus, when the multitude told him that his mother and his brother was without seeking for him, and then he answered and he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? I mean, we know that Mary gave birth to him, and then we know that he had a brother. But then he said something to them. He asked them, who is my mother and who is my brother? Ms. Jay, how do you interpret that?
Well, I'm going to read in the New Living Translation, and the answer, it says, anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. So anyone who follows God and does his will, you're all of those.
Okay. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in. That's a very good response. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in. How do you interpret that? When Jesus, who is my mother? Who is my brother? As if he could have more than one mother.
That's exactly what is exactly what Lady Miss J just said, because it goes on in verse 35 and says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father is my brother and my sister and my mother." In other words, they are my family. They are who belong to me, and I belong to them if they do the will of my Father. John 1 verse 12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So if we believe in him and we do his will, we are his children. We are his and he is ours. That's the basic point of what he was saying when he said, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?"
Okay, so Leilin, let me stay with you just for a second. If you want to chime in on this conversation, press 1. If you want to shed some light, press 1 on this here. We certainly welcome your opinion. Leilin, while I've got you here, then is he talking about his father, Joseph, or did he specifically say his father? And this is very important now. This is very important. We know that Joseph, first of all, let me ask you, was Joseph Jesus' earthly father? It never used the word stepfather.
He was his earthly father in terms of his stand-in, who was married to his mother, who raised him, but he knew who his heavenly father was. And when he talks about his father's business and his, when he refers to his father, he's referring to God the Father.
Okay, that's a very good point. That's a very, Leilin, thank you for that. Mr. Risa, go ahead. You had a question.
Well, I asked Sister LeBron, I know you said that it's for anybody, but I just wanted to challenge you just a little bit on that, because the 714 is talking specifically to church people, people that go to church every Sabbath or whatever day everybody goes. It's leaders in the church. It's pastors. It's anyone that names the name of Jesus Christ. That is who my people are, because God already knows that we are miserable, naked, and blind, because we have left our first love, according to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. So I'm just saying, do you feel that it's talking to just anybody, or is it talking to the people of God specifically?
Ms. LeBron?
And the reason why I use the term anyone is because, just as Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him." So I use that term, anyone, meaning whoever believe on him, whoever is calling upon
okay.
God.
Okay.
So
we stand the same thing. Yeah. Okay. I just was wondering. That's all.
Okay. No. All right. So here we go now. So could Jesus be referring to Mary gave birth to him? We know the conception stages of how it came to be through the Holy Spirit. So now the question becomes, and Sir Ben, we're going to start you with this one here. Then he says, "Whosoever doeth the will of my Father, that is my mother." So could Jesus be saying, "I got multiple mothers out there"? How do you explain that passage?
We have to go back to the original. Listen, in everything in life, in everything that we want to get understanding for, we have to always go back to creation. We got to go back to Genesis. And Genesis would define what we are talking about. When we're referring to Eve as being the mother of all, so remember, in creation, Eve was the representation of multiple things to God himself, being that she was woman from the womb, woman, a part of the womb and the man. So when he's referring to that term, a lot of times we misunderstand that. But in all actuality, yes, because creation started with woman. So the mother.
Okay, we know that it's woe unto man, but I'm asking the specific question. When God is saying, "He that doeth the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, and my mother," is he saying that there could be multiple mothers that he has? Or is that just a figure of speech that Jesus is saying?
Well,
is it literal,
you know,
or figuratively?
Well, Jesus did use a lot of parables to describe relationships and situations to give us a greater understanding about what he was trying to move us into. But we are all connected. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all interchangeably the same with each other. We started from creating. So everything started from creation. So, yes, we are all the same.
All right, again, we're going to get to our question tonight. How do you know if you're one of God's people? We're going to ask each person that. But let me ask you, Sir Ben, while I've got you on here, and we're going to also take this one over to, Sister Teresa. And that question is, no, not for Sister Teresa, but we're going to stay with you, Sir Ben, on this one. Where did Cain get his wife from in the land of Nod? You know, where did this come from? He went to the land of Nod and he got a wife. So were there other people that were created after Cain and Abel?
Yes. And so, but Adam,
I mean,
and
Eve, now you say everything came from Adam and Eve. But did
Adam
God
and Eve also had other children? And so,
Adam and Eve other beings, human beings, outside of the immediate family of Adam and Eve, is my question, that they migrated or somehow ended up in the land of Nod?
Well, the Bible,
because the Bible doesn't really give that account.
Specifically say that. So we could speculate, but then that would be adding to or to. So all we know is that Adam and Eve had a series and a number of children, and so that's what the premise is going to be based on. It's a premise that, you know, Cain actually became a part of somebody that was in his lineage, because we don't really understand. There was a lot of time between those instances that happened. The Bible is not necessarily all in chronological order, but there was a lot of time that occurred in between those times. So it's a possibility that, you know, she could have been like a cousin or a distant cousin or something like that. But Adam and Eve had multiple children, and they were populating the world. So that was God's intention, was to populate the world. That's why he said, be fruitful and multiply.
But there's a bloodline.
If you go back to Moses and the people that were saving the ark, those people repopulated the earth again because everybody else was destroyed. So you could
Moses, or you mean Noah?
Noah's time, yes.
Okay, all right. So there's a thing we realize, the incest. So are you saying then that where brothers and sisters were cohabiting or brothers and sisters were, you know, had intercourse, that God accepted the bloodline at that time?
Again, we are taking our philosophies and our understandings from the laws of Moses and what, you know, they were asking for. At that particular point in time, there was no real law against things. That's why when Cain killed Abel, there was no law to say, okay, I'm going to punish you because this is what you did. See, so there were things that were occurring in the beginning that had to occur to get us to where we are now, population of where we were. And if you remember back in creation, it says, don't those that are the same reproduce after their own kind. Don't the tree reproduce after its own kind. Don't everything reproduces after its own kind. And that was the same premise for humans too. We reproduce after our own kind. Now, from the beginning between Adam and Eve, and they said Adam was made in the image of God, because of sin, his reproduction changed, they begin to change. Cain and Abel didn't have the same attributes and the same looks that God himself had created because of sin. It changed who they are. And as they kept increasing in population, you would see a change from not only from chronological age, but size.
So Ben, is this, and we certainly do respect all opinions, but do you have anything biblical that supports what you're saying, that Cain and Abel's dimensions or characteristics or features or something, they weren't the same thing that God had designed, and I'm paraphrasing. Do you have anything in scripture on that? Because all human beings, I'm thinking, are created in the image of God. So where did that change come from with Cain and Abel? But we're going to ask you to stand by while you think on that one. And I want to go back up here. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in, Lady Lynn, and ask, how do you know, once again, how do you know if you are one of God's people? Is it because you do the will of his Father? You know, that makes us one of God's people. But the first question I want to ask you is, Are we all a part of God's creation? Are all human beings part of God's creation? Or
all
we...
human beings are part of God's creation, yes. All human beings are part of God's creation, absolutely.
All right, let me ask you this then. Are we all, is all creation, human beings now we're specifically talking about, are we all God's children? Are we
no.
all God's children, black, white, Jew, or Gentile? Are we all?
No, we are not.
We're all God's
no.
creation. Are we
yes,
all
we
God's?
Are. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. You have to choose to be his child. He created us, but then Satan, because Adam gave Satan dominion over this world, he pretty much gave over everybody that was created. That's why we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. When Jesus came, he redeemed us, but now it's our choice to either choose him or choose Satan. So we choose to be his child. We're not automatically his children. We're automatically his creation, but we're not automatically his children.
All right, I want you to stand by just for a second. Principal LeBron, I want to bring you back in because you said something earlier when we were asking you something, and you said what all of us will probably say, we're not perfect. You used that. You said that, I'm not perfect. Which I certainly am not perfect. I mean, I'm far from perfection, you know, and maybe there are others out there who are perfect, but I'm not. So when you say that, then how could I know that I'm God's child, that I'm imperfect because of my foreparents, Adam and Eve? And I'm born in iniquity. I mean, I'm born in sin, shaped into iniquity. So does God realize that it was my parents' fault? That I'm the way that I am? Principal LeBron? You might be on mute, Principal LeBron. All right, while she's pondering that, Miss Jane.
Sorry.
Miss Jane, is it all my that I'm not perfect, that God should understand? I mean, he made me. After all, he made me from dirt. I mean, all of us. We're all his creation, but now I'm hearing we're not all his children. But then
how do I know
if I'm one of his, if I'm not perfect? Because of my parents.
Okay,
Adam and
you
Eve.
Can't go for your parents' situation because God died for our sins and we were saved by grace and mercy. And as long as we have that faith and believe in him, we are one of his people. So, you know, that was all taken care of when he died for us. As far as our past transgression, our parents, what they sinned. And so he died for our sins. So I'm
okay,
not
so
taking,
are you,
you know. Go ahead.
Are you telling me that did Jesus die on the cross for a specific group of people, or is his mercy and his grace and the comforter for all people? Is it
he
for
did
all people?
Not die for a certain group of people. God do not, I don't think that he belonged to any group of people. He died for all people. As long, he just asked, as long as you have faith and believe in him and that you will be saved and you and ask for forgiveness and all, and you will become a child of God, one of his people. And that's why Lady Lynn say all people are not, which I agree with her, because everybody do not have that faith and are true believers. So they are not God's people.
But what makes a person a true believer?
That's your personal inner faith, you know, what
right.
you believe in the word and how you take the word to your heart.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, if I do drugs, if I drink, if I smoke, if I use profane language, but yet I say I'm a child of God. I mean, am I just saying I'm his creation? Or is it right for you to judge me, to tell me that I'm not a child of God?
No, I'm not going to say you're not a child of God because you have some vices that are part of you. But we all have vices. Whether, you know, some vices are fleshly and visible, and some of the vices are heart. You know, like if you're a liar or a fornicator or just like to keep up all kinds of havoc and mess, you might not see that from a physical standpoint of view, but that's in your heart. Just because a person smokes or drinks or whatever doesn't deviate from them from saying, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God that has some work that needs to be done. We all have work that needs to be done. So, yes, if you accept Jesus as your Savior and you understand that you want to be saved, then God will start taking those things away from you, those vices. He'll start to remove those from you. But if we read throughout the Bible, everybody who was permanent in the body, everybody had an issue. Noah had an issue with drinking. Moses had a, I'm sorry, David had some multiple issues. Thomas, Peter, all of them had issues, but it didn't deviate them from being children of God, because we are all forever learning. We are all trying to move closer to God. And so when you make the statement, are we, you know, children of God, or how do we know it? It's because of our servitude and our humbleness to want to be closer to God. And in that process, Satan is trying to destroy you from every angle he can, because his desire is to keep you from getting closer to God. If we could look in the mirror and see God in us every day, we wouldn't do a whole other thing that we did, because we would understand who we are.
All right. Okay, I'm going to stay with you just for a second, Sir Ben. Then I'm going to go to Ms. Teresa. Sir Ben, I want to ask this question here in all sincerity. So if I can't be perfect, I mean, I now strive hard. Remember Paul says the thing that I try not to do, I end up doing it. You know, I mean, do we have the power to be perfect? And then there's a scripture that says, be perfect as your Father is perfect in heaven. Do we have that kind of power? Or does the power come from the grace and mercy?
The power comes from the grace and mercy, and it also comes from submitting yourself. When you submit yourself to God, then he'll bring all the things that you need to bring unto you. Now, will things still come at you? Yes. Even Jesus himself was tempted by Satan, and Satan knew who Jesus was. He knew exactly who he was. He had sat there for many years, the covering. He was the covering. So he knew exactly who he was talking to, but he addressed him as though he was just a man in flesh. So, yes, temptations will come to us. And I will also tell you, when you make a decision to follow Christ, you want to see all kinds of things come at you, left, right, and every which way but loose. But you have to remain faithful and consistent to know that no matter what comes at me, I have the right to say I'm a child of the Father, of the King, and anything that try to beseech me will not prosper, will not get over me. You can speak that into existence because you know who you are in Christ.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Principal LeBron, we want to bring you in. Leyland, we're going to bring you in shortly. Principal LeBron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Principal LeBron, I want to ask you this question in all sincerity. The Bible says, can a leopard change its skin? What does that, how do you interpret that? Can a leopard change its skin?
Well, just like exactly what it means is it's like a leopard is born with that skin. It's not going to be able to change it.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. Cause I'm not gonna.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in. That scripture, can a leopard change his skin, can we relate that to, is he talking in parables in terms of a character of a person? Can a person change their character? If your daddy was bad, your daddy was a womanizer, there's a good likelihood that because you're his seed, there's a good chance you're going to be a womanizer. I mean, there was Jesse. Just before you answer, there was Jesse. Then there was David, his son. And then there was Solomon, David's son. You know how those things went. Help me out here with that. Can a leopard change its skin? And then, Sir Ben, I want to come back to you in a moment. And then you talked about Moses. Was marriage and divorce part of the Mosaic law, or was it really God's law? Go ahead. That God endorsed from Moses' commandment. Go ahead. Lady Lynn.
Okay. That means that we can't change ourselves. That's what that ultimately means. It means that God has to change us. God has to do the change in us. A lot of times we think, okay, we can just go on a diet to lose weight, or just stop smoking altogether, and then but it's God that does that change in us. Once he does the change, it doesn't come back. You know, we falter when we try to, you know, make the change on our own. But once God makes that change in us and he takes that out of us, he does that, you know, for good.
All right. So, Principal LeBron, I'm glad you came back with us on that. But you mentioned smoking. Will smoking cause you to not go to heaven? If you're a believer in God, if you're one of God's people, would smoking really, if that's the case, I mean, I'm just asking here, in your opinion, because we got a whole lot of other stuff that we do. You know, if you're eating sugar overabundantly, that's an addiction. Maybe as strong as that, the nicotine in the cigarette. But answer that specific question. Smoking will keep you out of heaven.
Yes, because the Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you destroy the body, he's going to destroy you. So you don't want to, put anything in your body that is not, is not healthy. You know, you want to, because it's a very important. I think after I got COVID, I'm just going to insert a little personal thing there. But after I got COVID and I got healed from that, one of the things I realized is that I will never again put anything in my body that I'm not supposed to. You know, even I cut off meat altogether, the sugar, the milk, dairy. You know, I went vegan, you know what I mean? But, you know, even then, but I'm trying to, it's like I realize the importance of having and keeping a healthy body and not just smoking. And, you know, that's one thing too. But it's just like when you're smoking, you're the organs that God has given you, a healthy lungs and stuff like that, you're killing it off. It's not healthy. And,
all right, two questions, Ms. LeBron.
And the answer to that is no, you're not going to go to heaven if you're that.
Yeah, so two questions here. Do you eat bread? Do you eat bread? Did you change your diet with bread?
Yeah, I did. And that was I love bread.
But what about starch, like potatoes?
The only bread I have is like that seeded, the seeded wheat bread with no gluten. That's the only thing.
Okay, but do you eat any potatoes, sweet potatoes, or mashed potatoes,
no.
White potatoes?
Nope,
none.
Nope. I got rid of all that.
So do you have like some lemonade, anything?
No, not with sugar.
Okay.
Nothing with sugar.
But
nothing.
Believe it or not, Ms. LeBron, I can almost assure you, you are having something, and this is not a personal attack on you. You're having something in it that you're not even aware. Believe me, you're having something with sugar.
Basically, I drink a lot of water. I don't even drink juice anymore. I don't drink, saying that to whatever. But the thing is that what I'm doing different is I'm not just doing it on my own. I'm asking the Lord, everything that I'm going to put in my mouth, I'm asking the Lord, should I put this in my mouth?
What about the fruit that's supposed to be natural? What about those fruit, those grapes, those apples, those oranges? What about those? You eat that?
Yeah.
Well, that's got the fructose. Believe it or not, the doctors even say if you have too much of that can contribute to your diabetes. Can you imagine that? Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in here. Knowing that you're one of God's children, is it enough? We know that we're all God's creation, but now we're hearing that we're not all God's children. We're his children when we identify as doing his will. But even though we're not perfect, and do you agree that if you smoke, you're not going to go to heaven? If that's the case, the people who are dying, who don't never smoked in their life, never, did certain things, they're still dying. So how do you speak to that, Lady Lynn?
I'm not sure your question, but so the question about whether or not you go to heaven if you smoke, it's about obedience. So it's about obedience at the end of the day. It's not about the specific sin. It's about whether or not you're willing to give everything up for Christ. Whether or not when he speaks to you and he says, I want you to put that cigarette down, if you're willing to say, Lord, I'll give it all up for you, or if you say, I can't give this up. I love it too much. So you're going to choose the cigarette or you're going to choose Christ. If you choose him, you'll end up in heaven. If you choose a cigarette, you won't. Simple as that.
Oh,
it's like that for everything across the board.
We're going to ask you to stand by. So I'm hearing that, so God's mercy and his grace are not extended to people who might be addicted to that nicotine.
No one said that.
But I'm just saying.
No one said that.
Because you're saying they won't go to heaven. Have you ever dealt, let me ask you all, because I have dealt with people who have addictive behaviors. And believe it or not, in my research, there are those of us who still have addictive behaviors and feel that we're children of God, but we're not even aware of how serious our own addictions are. Just like Principal Ron, this is not a direct attack to you, but I guarantee you if someone were to look, and just like I go on, one of my doctors told me I had to watch my carbs, and it's like I started Googling everything that I was going to eat. And it's like, oh, my goodness, this has got sugar. This has got sugar. And it's like, oh, my goodness. So, Lady Lynn, I'm saying if we there's something that either I'm eating, but I want you to stand by. Ms. Therese, I want to bring you in. What are your thoughts? If you smoke and you drink, is that going to keep you out of heaven? And Sir Ben's
and this
saying,
is not my opinion.
You? Well,
yes, sir.
Go ahead.
This is not my opinion, and I apologize if it offends anyone. It's not my opinion. The word of God in Romans 8 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So, yes, so God's grace and mercy covers us for everything as long as we are striving for that perfection. But when we continue to do the things that are going to keep us out of heaven, his spirit won't always strive with us.
Have you ever dealt with someone with an addictive behavior? I mean, like cocaine?
Oh, absolutely. I was addicted to sugar at some point.
Okay,
but
so let me ask you this question. Do you really think that a cocaine crack addict can help themselves and get off of this stuff? Do you really think they can?
It's only the power of the Holy Spirit can help anyone overcome anything. I believe, and I know some crack addicts that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So, yes,
right.
But you have to continuously submit. God is calling on the people of obedience and not this Burger King religion that I mentioned to you, having it our own way. So that's where
all
I'm
right,
at.
We're going to ask you this. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in. Ms. Jay, we're going to bring you in shortly. Sir Ben, I want to ask you the question. If I were a jury, if I smoke, and I've been smoking since 14, if that were the case, and it's like it's hard to get rid of that nicotine fit, and I go to church, and it's like, are you telling me that my going to church is in vain, Sir Ben, your opinion here? I'm not a child of, I'm not one of God's people?
Absolutely not. Going to church is going to only help you in your process to get better and better. You don't know that one moment or that one sermon or that one word that's going to invoke the Holy Spirit in you to come up and become strong, because everybody has a different walk. Everybody has a different level of understanding, and we are being fed either milk or meat. Some of us don't even know how to digest the milk good yet, get along yet the meat. But yet God still feeds us all. He uses whomever he chooses to get us to a place to be one of his children. He chooses for none of us to be lost. But we know that some people are just going to reject him. That's just the way it's going to be. He loves us all. I'm going to say this, and I hope it makes a lot of sense to us. Every day that we wake up, we are alive, and we see a new day. God has given us another chance to move close to him and to get it right. It doesn't matter if you're a smoker, a drinker, a drugger, an abuser, a killer, a murderer. It doesn't matter what you are in your life. He still gives us a life, another day, to get it right. Because he said from the beginning, when you eat of the fruit, you can surely die. Okay? They didn't die immediately because the devil, he played a trick on them. But they did die. So God's word is truth.
All right. Let me ask you, Sir Ben, and this is a specific question. It's a specific question. So you're telling me, because you never did give your opinion on it, so smoking or drinking or wearing jewelry will cause you to not go to heaven. Is that what, I mean, that's a specific question, in your opinion. Sir Ben, are we going to ask him to stand by?
I said doing those things will not cause you to not make it into the kingdom. How do we know that? Look at Moses. Moses didn't make it into the promised land, but he made it into heaven.
Okay, so is the promised land, as we know it now, is that heaven? Is that heaven?
What did he say?
I'm trying to understand. Moses didn't make it into the promised land, but he made it into the kingdom, or he made it into heaven. So
yes.
what's the distinction now? Because we talk about the promised land filled with milk and honey, streets of gold, that's heaven. But I understand Moses. I understand that part. But he made it into heaven. Moses didn't go because he killed somebody. He disobeyed what God had ordered. We get that part. But God still took him.
Even in
okay, so Sir Ben, even and I asked you this earlier, is it the Mosaic Law that deals with marriage and divorce that God allowed through the Mosaic Law?
Again,
are we going to ask? We're going to ask Sir Ben to stand by. Miss Jay, I want to ask you: have you ever just if you answer this one for me, just real quickly? Then I got another part, a follow up question. Have you ever been madly in love with someone, and somehow or other, it broke up? Could have been a spouse or someone, a boyfriend or whomever, and you broke up, and it just you couldn't seem to cut that love for that person. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Okay, all right, you answered yes. Were you able to turn that love when you broke up or they left you or whatever happened? Were you able to turn that love off like a light switch?
No, that's something that you have to work on day by day. Get your mindset on something else besides that person. Of course, you know, you pray on all that, but you got to do your work towards it too. And it takes time. It takes time. That's all I can say.
Here's where I'm going with this, you all. We're talking about God's, how do we know if we're God's people? Let me tell you, this is a personal story of mine, that I loved someone, you know, years ago, and it almost took a lifetime, and I can't even say that the love died, because it's still there, and it's just, even though you go on, you might get married or other relationships. But that's an addictive love. That's almost like that's a love that, listen, only God can come in and help a person with that. Because there are serious addictions, you all. I'm telling you. And love can also be what they consider to be an addictive behavior. When you love somebody, sometimes you can't help who you love. You love them so strongly. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to shake. I have seen people go without food, fasting, praying to that person come back into their lives, desperately fasting and praying. I have even been there myself, and it's like the people look at you and say, "Oh, well, just pray about it, and God will deliver that." Ms. Jay, I love what you said because it does take time.
Dr. Walker, there's different levels of love, too. Like this person you're talking about, you're going to always love that person, but being in love with them at different stages of love is probably gone. But that love will never go.
But you know what? You know what? A lot of love can always be rekindled because that fire, it only takes a spark. There's a church song. And sometimes, even in the reality, the practical facts of life, sometimes it just takes a spark. You can see that person, and you fall out because it's like, I never got over that person. I've heard countless stories like that. Principal LeBron, I want to bring you in. So now we're kind of coming to grips on realizing that we're all God's creation. We're all God's creation. But the people who are God's children, or God's people, we know. And I'm going to ask each one of you all, how do we know? And I feel I know that I am because I'm doing my best to do the will of God, to do the will of God. And that's what he said, Principal LeBron. But I don't know. Maybe I certainly don't try to have all the answers, That would be nice, but that would make me a god, and I know that that's impossible. But the thing about these addictive behaviors, because if that were the case, to still be in love or to have that love for some woman of years ago, then is there any hope for me to move on with life? Principal Laura, your thoughts on that? So when we talk about it, but it's only God's grace and mercy. Don't you think God is the author of love? He understands that. Principal LeBron?
He does, but just remember, anything, there's nothing, no addictive behavior that you have that, or that anyone have, I should say, that that God cannot heal it. As long as you turn it over to him, just like Lady Lynn said, as long as you turn it over to him, he will help you overcome any addictive behavior. So, and then that's how you know he's a friend. He loves you. God loves everyone. We have to accept him. We have to accept that love and to accept his healing and his changing power over us.
Okay. And I won't ask anybody, but if someone would like to volunteer, I would like to ask someone out there, if you have ever loved someone, don't incriminate yourself now. I don't want you to get, hit with a pot by your spouse, if they're listening to the show. But I want somebody, if you want to volunteer, can you relate to what I might be saying, that you've ever loved someone so desperately that even though you may have moved on with relationships, but you never got over that love, even with prayer? Anybody on the line that can volunteer? Liz, has that ever happened to you? If anybody, just chime in.
You know, I don't think that's fair for you to call on me for these kind of questions.
Okay, Liz. No. But certainly, you've been missing in action, so I just thought I'd call you. But Liz will certainly back
you. I did fall in love with a guy, and I had to find myself because I was ready to commit suicide for this guy. I loved him so much. So I had to find God and tell God to take this feeling away from me because this was a deadly feeling to be having.
Scary, right? Scary.
Yeah,
anybody
so I replaced him with God, and I say, God, I don't want to love nobody or no thing more than you. So I put God in his place.
Right. We're almost out of time, y'all. We have about another 90 seconds, and before we're going to ask Lady Lynn to close us out tonight. How do I know that I'm one of God's people? But she'll also just give us a brief, don't read the whole thing tonight, about what we're doing, the giveaways, just maybe a 30-second tidbit of it, but then give us the closing thoughts. In about 1 minute, we're going to bring you on, Lady Lynn. So anybody want to volunteer, just quickly, you got 20 seconds. Have you ever been and had that type of feeling for someone, and it took God to really deliver you? And that would be our point. If we're pursuing God, and Lady Lynn will close us out with, how do we know that if we're one of God's people? She will close us out with that, and we have the confidence that she knows how to close us out. Anybody else want to volunteer about an addictive love?
Well, I can add to mine that I prayed on it. And I did get released from that deep love I had to where I still love the person, but it wasn't like it was. And I don't think that it could ever be kindled up because, like, I prayed to remove that from my heart, the type of love I had. And so I just have the love as a friend.
All right. Okay. On that note, we're clearly out of time, you all. How do you know if you're one of God's people? Lady Lynn, put out.
All right, before I close this out, again, I just want to remind everyone, we want to thank everyone who has been a part of helping us throughout the year and helping with the gift card giveaways as well as with all the different things that we've done, all our co-hosts, all our sponsors. We want to specifically thank Cox Chiropractor for their generous donation today. We want to remind you all to go out and give a gift of $10 or at least $10 of an unwrapped toy to any of your local Toys for Tots this season. And we also want to remind you that if you want to help us bless 25 families or 25 individuals, call us at 786-399-6111. How do we know that we are children of God? The Bible tells us to him that receives for any of us who receives God, who receives Christ, which means we receive Christ unto ourselves. We have been given the title of sons and daughters of Christ. Not everybody is a son and daughter, only those who receive. And to receive doesn't mean you have to be perfect, doesn't mean you have to be sinless. It just means that you have to open your heart and ask Christ to come in, and you have to be willing to obey him, give up everything for him. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. It's not something that's just going to come naturally. It's something that the Holy Spirit has to do through you. But through the Holy Spirit, we can all aspire to be sons and daughters of God and to make it to heaven one day.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure. And again, the opinions that are expressed are merely those of my own, our co-hosts, our callers, our listeners. We certainly thank you all for taking time out to join us here on tonight's program. Please join us back here. Please join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back next Friday with another topic that you will really want to stay tuned for. And also, I believe next week we have our International Divine Intervention Day, which takes place next Saturday morning from 6:30 to 8:30. That will be followed by the afternoon Bible study from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. You don't want to miss any of these shows, you all. Listen, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Safe and stay well. Have a good night, everyone. Have a nice Thanksgiving also. Thank you.